Advent season continues on. Seems to be zipping. I don't know about you, but it just seems to be zipping by. And, you know, we have our theme for Advent, you know, prepare ye. Anyway, the way of the Lord. I can't get the song out of my head because of the show that was done here. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about hope. Last week, we talked about preparation. This week, we talk about joy. And there is no question, I mean, this is a time of year that we are so excited for, because Christmas is a pretty joyful time, is it not? I mean, there is no question, there is such a joy to celebrate the Savior who has come, the God who came down for us, and Christmas is such a joyful moment. Of course, we're all in the preparation time right now. The preparation time for Christmas. Do you have your trees up at home? Everyone got their trees up? Yeah, we're working hard. Decorated, not just a tree up, but decorated nicely. Have you gotten all your Christmas gifts? I'm pretty sure, right? You got them all. Have they been wrapped? Have they been sent? You know, you got to send them by a certain time or they don't get there by Christmas. Have you cleaned the house? You know, you got people coming, so you got to clean up the house so much and so well. There's a few things going on with Christmas, no question. I'd say for many of us, as we get ready for Christmas, we're excited for the joy of Christmas, right? We're like, yeah, we're getting everything ready. Yeah, working hard. Hey, getting this, and I can't just wait for Christmas Day so I can just relax and celebrate. But it is pretty funny what the scriptures say. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. I mean, it's funny when the Bible says things twice. It's like we struggle to hear it the first time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And, you know, as we get ready for this joyful Christmas, you know, God doesn't want you waiting for Christmas. He wants you not just preparing and driving yourself nuts and making sure you go shop and get all the food you need. He wants the joy of the Lord in you each and every day. As we're in this Lent season, we try to look back, Advent season. As we're in the Advent season, we try to look back at that Old Testament. And so I did a lot of study in the Old Testament, try to look and say, Old Testament, did they have a lot of joy stuff going on with them? I mean, they had their big people, Abraham, big guy, you know, Moses, David. These are great big guys. Things are going well in the nation of Israel. Well, if you look at the history of the Old Testament, there's more moments of things not going well than things going great. I mean, we live in America. Do you know that America is more powerful, and more strong than the nation of Israel ever was? And yet, I study the scripture, and in the Old Testament, they talk about joy. There's three times the amount of verses on joy in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. In the good times and the bad, these people in Old Testament times rejoiced. And it's unbelievable. You go look at it and it's, you know, you have the big moments, but then you have the prophets. The prophets who come to a broken nation, nothing's going well, and you have more references to joy than other places. It's unbelievable. You know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, these long books that have so many. And it's not just, you know, if you read Isaiah, it's not just the last few. No, joy is all the way through the book of Isaiah. And for me, the one that stands out so strong is Habakkuk. The story of Habakkuk is amazing. It's a story not of God sharing things to people. He's sharing it with the guy who's supposed to be helping the people of Israel, who comes to God at the very beginning of Habakkuk and says, how long, O Lord? What is going on? Why can't this get fixed? Because as soon as it's fixed, I'm going to be a really joyful guy. just three chapters in Habakkuk, as he brings this to God, and God challenges him and tells him, guess what, the nation of Israel, it's getting worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. And at the very end of Habakkuk, an amazing statement, the third chapter, very end of Habakkuk, he says this: the plants are not growing the way they should. And the sheep, we have less sheep than we've ever had. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. For he is my strength. An amazing wrap up in this book of Habakkuk, where he comes and says, nothing's better, things are worse, and I have joy. I have joy because my joy is about grabbing hold of the God who has all things in his hand. Nehemiah, he comes at an uglier time than Habakkuk. The nation of Israel has been wiped and destroyed. And Nehemiah comes to rebuild the wall, to kind of guard the Israelite people, even though there's not an Israelite nation anymore. And he comes, Nehemiah, and in chapter 8, verse 10, he says this: do not be grieved, right? Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's not saying you'll resolve everything and get things all right and you'll be happy. He says, don't grieve. Christ is coming. The God who made you is with you. And in all things, nothing can take away the gift of God. Even in Old Testament times, so much. And one thing I'd say, a very short point today, is very simple. Don't wait for Christmas Day for your joy this Christmas season. Don't wait. For the gift of God that he has won for us is there for us every day. Now, I will say, and last week I was not here for a very simple reason. We had an incredible person give us an incredible gift as a family. And me and my family, we got to go to Pittsburgh and go to a Pittsburgh Steeler game. Oh, I mean, unbelievable. Not only did they whoop the other team, but we go in and literally we have these seats. I mean, we got kids and we're in the front row of that second level where we have to, you know, get in the front row so the kids can see everything. Even us in this area, it's very nice and everything that we can sneak back, and it's all heated if we want food and get a nice warm area to get some energy back. It's not bad. And literally, my family and I, we had a great time. We had a hotel where there's swimming, kids, swimming, come on. We had a great time. Every day was a joy. My wife, who's nervous to drive in Pittsburgh because crazy driving and snow and rain and everything, I prayed hard. No snow, no rain, perfect driving, no problems. It was an incredible weekend. And as we're flying back, I'm getting things ready for this sermon, and I'm sitting there thinking through, and I'm like, I am ready to talk about joy. I got so much joy. This has been awesome. Of course, this week has been a little different. We won't talk about the hair. I went for a haircut, and they didn't get it right, and so they're trying to fix it. And they say, if we just cut this down and cut this down and cut this down. And it's Christmas, and my hair, I look like I'm in the army. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And literally, the same day, I've got just standard doctor's appointment. I walk to the doctor's, and this is on Friday, and I'm walking there, and it's raining, and I'm getting drenched, and I get to the doctor's office, and I go to the doctor's office, and it's dead empty. There's one woman sitting there in her car, because on the thing it says, oh, by the way, we've canceled until 10 o'clock all our appointments. Now, they send me so many reminders of appointments, but do they send one this way? Because I check the phone, I check it thousands of times before I walk there, about a mile away from my house in the rain, no doctor there. I walk back and get drenched in the rain. I go to use my computer, and it's frozen. I cannot get on the computer. I am going nuts. It's just not a good day. Friday is not going well. And I'm like, where's the joy? I mean, my mom. Oh, my mom. She's got her cancer, too. And as this is all going on, she gets her shingles happening to my mom. I'm walking back in the midst of the rain, and as much as I'm ticked off, I'm looking at the people who are homeless in the rain, and I'm looking and I'm saying, okay, I'm preaching on joy. Can I preach on joy this week, or should I just toss it? Because Friday, I am not in joy in any way, shape, or form. Because it's tough. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Well, it's hard to hold on to the joy that we have in Christ as the things in life go on. In the book of John, you know, Jesus talking with his disciples, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, as he's getting ready to be taken away, crucified, to die, to rise from the dead, but be gone from his disciples' life. And he has so many important things he longs for them to hear in this time. And in John chapter 15, verse 11, he says this: "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full," may be complete. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. I'm about to get arrested and crucified. I want you to grab hold of this, people. Bad things are about to happen, but guess what? I want my joy in you. And there are struggles, there are moments in life where the things grab a hold of us and we lose sight. This is what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to grab hold of. He says it in John chapter 17, as he's praying for his disciples. He turns and he says these things. He says this, and he's praying it, and he says, "These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." God longs for us to know him, to walk with him, and to have joy no matter what we face in this life. And I think as you hear that, most of you are thinking, oh, I'm a terrible Christian. How do I be joyful? Well, look at Romans. Romans hits it well. Romans 15, verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have peace." God doesn't say, oh, you need to get better at having joy. He says, my Spirit is in you. My Spirit can bring you truth, hope, joy. Listen to that Spirit. For me, in my crazy week, all the bad stuff happening on Friday after a great weekend before, I had to stop everything I was doing. And I just had to sit down and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be joyful. Oh, Lord. Set me free. See, we're not capable of being joyful people, but the Spirit of God in us, the one who reminds us, the one who fills our hearts, no matter what we face, no matter the mistakes we've made, no matter the struggles, God gives us a reason for joy. 1 Peter, as we read it earlier, and it's a powerful text in this, because I think a lot of times it's like, why are you joyful, Chris? Really? After all the things that happened, why are you joyful? He says it this way: "We do not see God But we love him. We love him. And you believe him and rejoice with joy. Rejoice with joy, right? We rejoice because we got joy in our hearts and in our lives. That is inexpressible, okay? So it's kind of given the example, very simple. You can be in a good mood because everything mucky has happened in life and you've prayed and you've lain down the Lord and God's with us in all things. And people will come to you and they'll say, why are you happy? Have you ever had someone do that? I've had people say that to me before. Why are you so happy? And the answer, I have no idea why. No, I can't explain it. It's not me. I don't go make myself happy by doing the right thing, eating the right dessert or, you know. Our joy is not found in the things that we do. Our joy is found in the God who is in us. The very Spirit of God that is in us is a spirit of joy. And if you are struggling and you are, listen to the Lord your God. Listen. He is able to change your perspective. He loves you so much. He has given you a gift that cannot be taken away. There is a reason for joy, and sometimes we don't even know the reason, but it doesn't matter. The very Spirit of God is in us. I don't see a lot of smiles, so I must not be preaching well. You know, C.S. Lewis, he wrote a lot of things, and one thing that he said that was so great for me, joy is not found in a place, in a thing. Instead, it is from a relationship with God. You want to find joy in life? It's not about finding the right job that's going to make you happy. You want to find joy in life? It's not about correcting those kids from all their frustrating ways of doing things. You want to find joy in life? It's not about making sure that you and your spouse are 100% in the same direction with the same attitude. The joy that we have, not Christmas Day, but every day, is because that's the God we worship. There is often this discussion and debate. You know, you have Jesus, pictures of Jesus, and there's the picture of Jesus laughing. Okay, now people are like, no, that's not true. And other people are like, no, Jesus laughed. Jesus told his disciples again and again, be joyful. So Jesus, the perfect God, was a joyful God. And he has a gift to give to us day after day. He has things that allow us to not hold on to the ugliness, to our anger, to our disappointment, to our frustrations, to our fears. He says simply, turn it to me, trust in me, and may the joy of the Lord be with you. Every day. Let's pray. Lord, as we are preparing for Christmas, there are lots of things going on, things to do, presents to buy, people to talk to. There's so many things to prepare for. And Lord, many of us, as we are getting ready for this Christmas time, are kind of just waiting for Christmas so that we can kind of just let go and have a great day. And yet, Lord, your desire, your plan for us is to rejoice every day. Your desire for us are to be the weird people in the world who just continue to have a smile on our face, a hope and a joy in every circumstance. Lord, fill us with that spirit. Fill us and help us to talk to you, to lean on you, to dump our messes on you, and receive the very gift that we will get officially Christmas Day, but it's ours already, that you are alive, that we are forgiven, that the Spirit of God, who's stronger than anything we face in this world, is with us, and there is a reason for joy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.